Okay, well, greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's a great blessing to be here again. Many times the things that are shared, it's a great blessing. Our desire is it to be a continuation of the things that we've heard, that we could continue on with the Word of God. As we shared, I think, greetings in that precious name of Jesus, you know, that name that is above every other name this morning. And because of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's why we're here this morning. And we don't want to take that for granted. We want to worship Him this morning. So with that, maybe we could all rise together for a word of prayer. Yes, Father in heaven, this morning, we bow before You, Lord, and we thank You, Father, as was shared this morning. We're thankful, Father, for what you have done in our lives. We're thankful for what we have. Lord, we recognize that we at times can forget that. But Father, today help us to look at the things that You've done for us and are doing for us, and continue to look forward and with anticipation, with knowing that You hold the future in Your hands, Lord. Help us to be a faithful people. Thank You for this opportunity. We thank You for the greatest cause on earth, Lord, is to live for You, Lord, to live a transformed life and live and be part of Your kingdom, being strangers and pilgrims in this earth, preparing for eternity. It's the greatest call on earth, Lord, and we are thankful to be part of that this morning. And we pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that You would set a hedge of protection over our gathering this morning, that the Holy Spirit would be here. Help us to walk in smallness in our own ways, Lord. Help us to recognize that You are our big God. You are a heavenly Father, and yet You are interested in every detail of every moment of this day and every person's life. So we commit ourselves to You and each family, each child, into Your care today, that You would have Your will and way, and You would divinely direct us, that we could learn what Your will is further and all the things that we speak. I pray, Father, that You would take some of these thoughts that You've laid upon my heart, and You would convey them, not in words. Maybe some imperfections can come out of words, Lord, but You would convey the heart. Lord, we desire Your heart to be conveyed, not our own ways. So we commit ourselves to You with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Would like for maybe a song number 540. Hey, Brother Arlen, would you mind to lead that? I'd like to sing that song together. Yes. Well, today is a beautiful day to be gathered in the house of God. I want to share a few thoughts, a few devotional meditating thoughts out of Psalms, and then the message, the title of the message that's on my heart is there a remedy for the sin nature, worldliness, and etc.? Is there a remedy? These are things that have been going through my mind probably ever since I was become a born-again Christian. They go through back and forth in my mind. Is there a remedy? And this morning I would like to look at this topic in light of all of us having personal experience, and I have one too. So it causes us to reflect. Is there still a cause in Zion? Is there still a remnant? And there is, praise God. As I looked over this subject, I was again smitten to a memory. Not necessarily smitten. I was thinking of Brother Conrad was sharing. In my life, it says he made a comment, will you count the cost in all your decisions? Because it will matter. And can we say it was worth it? And I wrote some of those thoughts down as a brother shared. And this morning, it's been worth it. It's been very worth it. Because God is good. God is very good this morning. God is He never has ever let man down. Never. God has been perfect in all His ways. And our Lord this morning is still that way. And as I meditated on that in my life, I thought of our own journey. Sharing, I won't probably share my testimony, but I would like to share that some of these things come from a burden. So the burden for me this morning is us, but it also has a little bit of a directed thought. It's for the next generation as well. And some of you men that are older than me, you're a generation older than me, you have those burdens that we like to hear from each other. But there's a generation that we care about. Isn't that true? If you're a daddy and you have children, you care about them. And that's why we share. That's why we share our own journey. You know, remember my own journey at 17, 18, 19 years old. I was in this world. Many of you were in this world. World has caught in the nature of sin. We were caught. And we'll kind of go through that just a little bit. You know, there's a greatest need for all of man is find a way to live. Man wants to find a way to live. We want to have a better life. We want to have a better quality of life. Very likely, there's possibly someone here, very possible someone here this morning that's caught. I don't know which way to turn. There's hope. God is good this morning. There's all of hope, all of heaven is for us this morning, every one of us. It brings peace. There's a net. I'd like to read a few verses in Psalms. Psalms chapter 25, verse 11, it says, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all its troubles. His troubles. So there's the Israel. There was the Psalmist David had a similar burden. He had a personal burden there through his life, where he was crying out to God for getting delivered out of a net. You know, and as I was sharing the other A couple days ago, we were sharing the thought that man sometimes gets in a net, and there's a confusion around us, and we're wrapped in, and the harder we try to get out of it, the more tangled up we become. Has anybody ever experienced that in a lost condition? Even sometimes in the Christian life, there's a confusion that can come over us. But praise God, there's a way out. There's a way out of that thing. And it's been an encouragement to think about that. There's a remedy for these things. Is there still a remedy for sin nature? Turn your Bibles to Second Peter. Second Peter chapter 1, we'll start in verse 1. We'll read a number of these scriptures. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtain like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. I'll just stop there. Some very familiar scriptures to all of us. We read these scriptures, and I was thinking that some of the exhortation, the earlier part of 1 Peter 1, was there's the remedy there. There's the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, the divine strength, to be a partaker of a different strength. Though I've spent many years of my life trying to get out of this confusion and net, then there was a higher elevation of strength come and pulled us out of that net. That's what man continues to need. All of us need that. And I was thinking, if I would ask all of us for a raise of hands, if you find yourself in a situation where you just long for some deliverance and help, we would raise our hands. That's what we want. We want that. But God has a way for it. God has made a way in very practical ways. One of the most detrimental ways is that we forget that we were purged when we do not add to our faith. You know, some of the thoughts, some of us have different testimonies. But going back, thinking of our own life, I was thinking when I was in my early teens, going into my almost in my 20th birthday, I remember being done with this world. I had no idea really what God had in store for our lives, but I was a single man, and if I would have known everything, I don't know that I know everything, but I wouldn't do it over right now. I wouldn't do it over. It was a blessing that those many years ago I committed my life to God in a very personal way. All of you have a testimony, so I'm not going to elaborate anything probably practically on our testimony. But as we journeyed there, I was delivered from my entertainment. I remember as a young man, I loved music and I loved the way I looked and I loved everything about this life. I remember sharing with my friend, it would have been my wife at that point, but my friend, my special friend, the burdens and the longings in my heart. And she was agreeing. She was saying, this is what we want. This is what God wants to do in our life. And as I was sharing with a brother this week, God has been faithful. I have not always been perfect. We have not as in our marriage, in our family. But I don't love the world. I don't like the world. I lost that love years ago. And I still don't love the world today. I don't love this world. It's empty at the core. It's empty. I've experienced trying to look right, trying to have the right fit, trying to have the right thing that everybody thought I was cool. I've experienced that. It's worthless. It will always be that way. And I was thinking, sometimes we, as we shared earlier, that let's just, we don't always know sometimes what the struggles are in our life, but to clearly identify them has been very helpful for me. And now leading and guiding, and my wife and I, and get married and we have children, we endeavor to guide them and bless them and teach them these things. But they themselves also need to come in a direct relationship with Jesus Christ through the cross and be crucified unto this world. Every one of our children, we can help them, but they'll need this same remedy. This is the testimony of God's people. Every generation being delivered from the world, out from the world. Every generation out from the world. Otherwise, there's conflict because we're trying to put the two together. It never works that way. The two will never go together. So I was thinking we could finish because it seems like we understand all these things. I know we do. We're men. But the burden is also for us men, but for our children, for the next generation. I would like for us together to understand that there's still a similar pattern that permeates through generation after generation. But the principles never change. If they come from the world, then they are the world. And they'll perish with the world. So I'd like to look at maybe three different areas. I think of the scriptures. If you turn your Bible to John chapter 1. Or I'm sorry. 1 John 1 verse 2. Because the question has always been asked, what is the world? So we can sometimes teach, or in life we can share. The Bible says what the world is. And we just kind of leave it out there in the sky. And we can't identify what the world is. We want to allow the Holy Spirit to do that. But it is also very, it seems helpful for me, is to be practical. What's a pressing age? What pushes at us? 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, it gives us the familiar verses. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Just a few verses there. Think of the world. You know, in this sense, the Strong's 2889, it's just a little bit of a lookup I did. It's a base of. In this, love not an orderly arrangement. It's just an interesting word. Love not decoration. It can be either in a wide or narrow sense, including its inhabitants. Literally or figuratively, the world has a proper order or a garnished, trimmed out place. It's a world that has its origins, and it speaks a clear message. The world always speaks a clear message. It promotes itself at the highest place of seat. And the only person that is allowed that is our Lord Jesus Christ, not the world. And it's interesting, when something gets promoted to a high level and you fight for it, if it's not Jesus Christ, it's the world. And it'll go away with its lust thereof. That's encouraging. But men fight for a lot of things in this world. You know, some of the thought patterns, some of the molding, pressing patterns is, you know, in a sports world, a man of sports would say that if I could just get to the top, if I could just make $5 million a year, if I could just get to that, when they get to that threshold, does anybody know what happens to many of those men? They kill themselves. Or they overdose. Do we understand, like Brother Conrad said, if we would only know what we're pursuing, whether it's a $5 million career or a name, an honorable name that everybody thinks well of me, it at best, it pales. It's going to pale and we become deranged. It's a kingdom of this world. The Bible says, and then in Romans, that's the orderly arrangement. That's what the Strong says in 1 John there. But in Romans chapter 12, it has a meaning. It says a present age. I'm sure many of you are aware of that. A future age. It's a course. It's a present age. It's a noun word. The Bible says, don't be conformed unto this age. And the age of the world is from the beginning. There's always an age all through history, all through the different countries, different places of where men have dwelt. There's been an age, and this age is driven by Satan, the god of this world. It'll never change. And so it's not, we're not running down the blue sky, the rivers, the falls. We're not, but we are saying that we are strangers and pilgrims in a world, a worldly system that is the king of it is the god of this world, is Satan. We need to be aware of that. So that gives us courage that we don't spend our energy trying to change the world, trying to change the world. We call men and women out of the world into a new humanity. Isn't that a blessing? When we can do that, there's a freedom there. You can say, no, if you want to live in the world, that's out there. But come into the new humanity. It's a new kingdom. So speaking of that, forever, this will be forever. And I thought, the things that we share today, they must be forever. We don't want to make that mistake. You know, when we think of the world, we think of there will always be a conflict between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world. Has anybody ever experienced that conflict? It's conflict. And it's just there. It's just oil and water. Well, don't try to run from that. And for sure, don't try to put it together because it don't work. Because when you put it together, you create more confusion and more conflict. Some thoughts I was having. I sometimes hear what sometimes our problem is we have conflict. And we do. Conflict is bad. Contention is bad. All them things are bad. But where contention and conflict is, you know what's there? Worldliness. That's what's there. So let's not be conflicting, let's not have contention, let's not have any strife, but we have to deal with worldliness. We have to deal with worldly ideas, because that's why conflict and contention comes. The scripture says, where envy and strife is, there's every evil thing. I don't have the verse in front of me. But the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ is to continue to plea this, cry. Wherever conflict arises, there's most likely a age of this world pressing in or has already come in. Wherever there's conflict. It can be just two parties that are carnal in a worldly sense. It can be just two carnal parties and they fight for all they're worth for a decade until someone dies. But many times when there's conflict, it's because there are two worlds at conflict. And we take things personal. This present worldly values and the kingdom's values, the kingdom of God. And one normal response of this worldly system, this worldly value, and this is a normal response, just don't worry about all the little things. Let's just love. And you got to hear all through that. We love each other. But it's a worldly system. It's worldly in that sense. Let's not nitpick and be critical. That's true. But that comment comes, just let me go. Just let me go. Children, dad, don't It's not kingdom. It's not the kingdom of God. It's a attempt to merge the two together. Strife and conflict will always go on wherever the world has its foot in the door. In a home, in a business, especially the church. When the world has already made an entrance in one way or another, you can try to get rid of the conflict as much as you want. It'll stay there. Because the principles of eternity are not established by us as men. They're established by God. Conflict, getting rid of conflict without applying a remedy to the nature of the problem, which is worldliness. And so some of these things this is a big subject. I don't have a lot on some of the practical points we'll share later as I wrote up here. We'll look at a practical example in Scripture of two men that had conflict at some point. If you turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Is the Apostle Paul speaking? 2 Timothy chapter 4. We can read a few of those verses. I'll read the first four verses. It says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For the Apostle Paul here says, For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, and I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. And very familiar scriptures, but you can see the Apostle Paul looking at the end of his life. And you know, I know some of you are older, but as I looked at some of these scriptures and I thought, 18, 19 years old, and my life, my wife and I are turning 43, and our life isn't very long anymore. We don't know how long. But oh, to God in heaven this morning, that the kingdom of God, men in this room that are 20 years younger than me, that you would hold the burden. You would get a hold of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, not, it behooves the heart of a father. It behooves the heart of a grandpa that young men get a hold of the burden. Because you see Paul there, and he goes on to further to say this conflict. He says, For Demas hath forsaken me, in verse 10, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica, and the Grecians, to Galatia. Titus there also departed, not in a negative way, I don't think, but Demas, it says, has forsaken me, having loved this present world. I looked at that a little bit. It doesn't seem like Titus forsook him for the present world. Titus just went a different way, ministering to other people. But Demas here forsook him because he loved this present world. And I was looking, I said, well, it doesn't really say more. So I looked through the scriptures, and maybe others have some other information about that, but it don't really give us a lot about what he did. What was his passions? But as I thought, well, I'm going to try this. I'm going to try this avenue. So I looked up a little bit of the jurisdiction or the landscape of Thessalonica, Galatia, and the Grecians, because that's who he departed to. He departed to Thessalonica there in verse 10, and I would imagine the pain in the Apostle Paul's heart. Has anybody ever been pained in life? It happens. But the Apostle Paul watched him. He walked beside him. If you ever walk beside, somebody's ever walked beside me and I've let them down, it's discouraging. Very discouraging. But this happened all in the Bible times. This happens. But take heart. God has a beautiful kingdom for men to love him and serve him. So Demas there forsook Paul because of why? It was worldliness in Demas's life. It seems to be that Demas chose the comforts of the cities over the hardships of ministry. That's what it seems to be. I don't know what all that means. If you study Thessalonians, the Thessalonican cities, the Galatians, the Grecians,
In Thessalonica, they functioned as a wealthy, heavily fortified port and a bustling commerce hub. The city was characterized by its unique political and cultural landscape. And it had a hold of Demas' heart. Otherwise, he wouldn't have went there. Something in that city had a hold of Demas' heart. Is there something in the world that's got a hold of you and I's heart this morning? We need to identify it because it'll take us there. It will take us there someday. You know, the Grecians, they were Greek-speaking Jews that valued philosophy. They were smart and they had a lot of ideas. It was a widespread commerce, and the Greek language deeply influenced the world of the New Testament. And Paul was in the battleground. He was in the heat of the, you know, we think sometimes we get into smart people when we do. But when a man is sold out to Jesus Christ, none of this will affect him because he loves Jesus and the world is crucified unto him. You can never explain away a pure, holy Christian life by philosophy. You can try it, but it doesn't work. But somehow Paul was there with Demas, and this was happening. So the Galatian people, especially the northern Galatian people, were made up of fierce, independent warriors. And over time, they adapted Greek culture and language. This is helpful when we read the epistles, I think. This is helpful. These people, and the Apostle Paul was at the shores of these cities, calling men out of these places. And I don't know if Demas would say, I don't know. You ever hear that? Well, Paul, let's just be like him to win him. I don't know if Demas spoke like that. Would you ever hear those things? We don't want to be radical. But it won't bring the fruit we want. It won't. It didn't in the apostles, Paul. It didn't. The church was always out of the world. And over time, I think these principles out of in 2 Timothy in these cities, you know, you could say, well, Demas, sometimes we get the picture of Demas. I think he was a nice man. He was probably a very eloquent man. I'm just thinking he wasn't a scum type of a man. He was a man that had integrity. And the apostle Paul had to walk through that. The same principle in these cities at Thessalonica and all these cities that the apostle was working. And then there was conflict there because of the world. There was the lust of the flesh, eyes, and the pride of life there. It doesn't change. That principle never changed. This world in which we live is self-absorbing, always. It's just self-absorbing. And when myself isn't happy, I rise up in the flesh. It's always about me and my happiness. You know, this morning, let's do some checks in our life. When you take a family trip somewhere and you go to the Niagara Falls, are them falls beautiful or is the strip beautiful? Just check it out because there's two differences there. The water is beautiful, brothers and sisters, but the strip is of the world. It's driven by demons. It's driven by the dictates of the world. And if we love them things and we profess Jesus Christ, someday we're going to be full-fledged strip, especially our children. The lust of the flesh. We enjoy God's creation. It entertains us well enough. We don't need other entertainment. The world of entertainment, as I wrote down the first one, entertainment. This world of entertainment that gives men the moment of fulfillment. Men and women are entertained by fast rides, drag racing, loud trucks, music, clothing, videos, just simply a life driven by entertainment. That's what man is driven by. And I would say, we would like to say that doesn't affect us, but it does this morning. It affects us. Let's look at what we get our fulfillment from. Is our fulfillment in the Word of God, just being with our family, loving the Word of God, loving the brotherhood, as Brother Conrad was sharing? Or is our secret fulfillment from another element of entertainment? It doesn't even have to be bad all the time. It's just an entertainment world. I would say that this entertainment back when I'm sharing these things, more I'd like to share this from a father heart. I remember when this went away in my life when I was a teenager. For the first time in my life, I had to have no music playing in my buggy when I went home after I repented that evening. Nothing. I could just drive home for 40 minutes and remember it. And it was clean. Nothing had to be fulfilling my mind. Nothing. Except I wanted God. Do you want God this morning? Do you want Him? We must quiet ourselves. We must repent before Him and take up our cross and follow Him. Humble our own heart. We need to humble our own hearts. God is good to us. Sometimes these practical things appear in younger generations. You know, this is a younger generation. I share that we have a middle age pressure that we face. We could talk about that. But this pressure from the world, it pressures you. I know it does, young men and women. I know it does. No one is condemning you. We're not condemning each other. But it pressures you because we're trying to find our way. Sports, I think of the entertainment world, the world of sports. I read a few of her writings on sporting, or you would call it games. And one of the games that I come across, we could speak of many others. We'll speak of a few of them. It is the sport of basketball was created for exercise. That's what it was created for. It wasn't, the origin of it was not in a negative. But would drag it to a set of bleachers, and you put a bunch of nakedness in front of it playing around, and it becomes driven by the demon. That's the truth of it. It's just the truth. And a basketball is a basketball. But you read some of the writings of what men have done with these things. It was unfortunate. You have to shun the arena. You have to shun it. You have to stay away from it because it's not driven by God. It's driven by the demon. Driven by the world, the god of this world. So that's basketball. Now, you didn't hear me say to shoot a basketball in a hoop is wicked. But we hear you say is, see what we're trying to share. It's an entertainment world. Look at the amount of money that goes into it. Entertainment, fast rides, thrills. The other one was the sports world. Many of the sports world are designed around an idol. Some games were designed on birthdays and etc., even birthdays of kings. Some games were designed for that. One writer said, this is in light of horses or racing the writer was Tertullian. He wrote this about horses or chariot races was his sport. And this is quote, "Now let me address the kind of performances peculiar to the circus exhibits. Chariot races. In former days was practiced in a simple way on horseback. Certainly its ordinary use had nothing sinful in it. But when it was dragged into the games, it passed from the service of God into the employment of demons." That was a writer in Tertullian. These things are not made up of Anabaptists. Well, I would say this has been a position of Christianity. A position of Christianity. And so when we submit to the history of Christianity, that's a blessing. We're free. We become free. It says, another quote, same man, "You will never give the approval to these foolish racing and throwing feats, and yet more foolish leapings. You will never find pleasure in useless exhibits of strength. Pushing after an artificial body that is surpassing its created work." You understand what I mean by that? Like pressing a body past its intended work. It's idolatry. "How idle are the contests themselves." This was, quote, way back. I remember these things in my life. "Strife of colors." Now, this is still talking about horses. Horses in Tertullian's time. "Colors, contentions in races, questions of honor, boasting when one is faster and grieving when one is sluggish. Reckoning up the years of the animal's age, knowing its consuls, learning their ages, tracing their breeds, recording their grandsires and their great-grandsires." This was considered one of the public games in that time, as well as we could talk about basketball, we could talk about football. And the Christians of all of history have shunned these things. It's not about us this morning. It was freeing to me as I looked at some of the deliverances in my own life as a young man, Some of the longings and the things that were a blessing, I thought they were fun. They were gone. They went away. We need to allow that cross to come upon us. The second thought I was having is materialism. You know, the materialism is a mold of the world that we need continued clarity. Some of this subject is interesting to me. Materialism has been viewed by many a man through history in a lot of ways. But materialism this morning is in few parts. It's wealth and possessions. And it is said by a writer, when not governed, is a stronghold of evil. Many, because of casting their eyes on it, will never reach the kingdom of heaven. For they are sick for the things of this world, and they are living proudly through luxury, love of money. It is to be the stronghold of evil. But the riches that are best is the poverty of the desire of these things. And I thought, hallelujah. You know what? We need to raise our families. But to have no desire, and it's rooted out of my heart, there's a freedom there. We need material and possessions. But what's ours is yours. You know, what we labor for is God's. Why do we fight so much for it? It's God's. He gives it to us. And sometimes he invests in different brothers different amounts because of the faithfulness. And I'm thankful for that. But to have that desire, I would say that to us as daddies, but also young men, watch that thing. Watch that thing. It's a Trojan horse. Talk to your daddy what your desires are. Because to have a desire to be wealthy and to be proud and to be known, it's an enemy to the kingdom of God. It doesn't come together. But to rather have a desire to be a servant of God, to be a blessing in your family, to be a young brother in the church, serving, being in the kingdom, the opposite is so true. A godly man is not proud of wealth or material things, because he starts to be keenly aware of where it comes from. What I have has been given to me. And we're stewards. We're like a steward. You know, if we think of a current. You know, if a man stands in a current, he either stands in the current and he has power over the current, or the current takes him downstream. And when the current takes us downstream, we don't ever like to go alone. We like to take people with us. So it's just some of those thoughts on materialism. Some of the comments, some of the beautiful truths that Jesus said. Jesus taught us where your heart is. Where your treasure is, there is your heart. And so sometimes we try to deceive ourselves. We get confused. We have to look at what we're practicing, what we're running after, because that's what our heart is. Sometimes we can long say, I can long tell my family that's not what my heart is, but this is how I'm responding. They don't believe me. They don't believe me, and they don't have to, because that's not what's happening. That's the second point. The last one is the subject of clothing. I don't think I have a lot to say about that. I was looking at the 3 points in John there about love not the world. What is in the world is the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And so entertainment and materialism and clothing was just a overarching. There could be fingers of those things discussed. But clothing is a subject that God's people face in every generation. And we are thankful that we talk about these things here. We talk about it in our families. But one simple quote I found is, those who glory in their looks, not in their hearts, dress to please others. And I thought it was just a blessing for me. We appreciate orderliness and cleanliness. But if you're consumed this morning of what everybody thinks about you, there's probably an element of worldliness. Just right. Just let it go. Get on that cross. Crucify it. You'll be a lot sweeter. Be a lot more gentle. You know, when we're worried about what everybody looks about, looks, how we look, you know, that's clothing, hair, you name it. You know, clothing, I would say, now this is a comment. This is a thought I have. Clothing, this the other one was not my comment. This was borrowed. Clothing, this is my thought. Clothing is one of the most accurate readings of a man's inward desires. Now, I know that there could be a lot talked about that. I did not say the only. I said it's one of the most accurate readings of a man's inward desires. We looked at entertainment and materialism and clothing, three major important things in this world. Would we not agree? The financial infrastructure of that is just millions and millions and millions of dollars. What will the church do with it? How many thousand dollars do I got to spend on clothing or entertainment every year? Just thoughts that I was having this week, last couple of weeks, just thinking over our own life. These are three major important things in the world. And these things are to be crucified in us. And this is the call of God. If you turn your Bibles to Galatians, a verse there, that the remedy, just a few thoughts at the end here of in Galatians chapter, I'm sorry, Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. This is a chapter. The goal is not to take this verse out of context, but it is talking about the doctrine of Judaizers and some circumcision. But the cross of Christ and the Apostle Paul here has this element of remedy that I would like to share. In verse 14 of chapter 6, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." And if we think of that verse, the world this morning, this is a remedy. There's a remedy. This is twofold. You know, one of the things that always that seems to be a blessing as I meditated on this in my own life and also through the Word of God, there is a big cross. You know, this is the cross of Jesus Christ. This is a positional cross. It's been done. Would we not agree that that's been done? It's done. That beautiful work of the cross has been done. Slain, and the Bible says here in that same verse, "Save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me." Isn't that a beautiful thing? The provisions are there. Hallelujah. The provisions of this Lamb of God was hung on the cross and he rose from the dead. This provision was there. Now, will that get the job done? You know, there's questions that come to my mind. So then he says, "And I unto the world," that last line in verse 14, seems to be the pivoting point of all of humanity. Man likes to stay in this side, in the world, living in entertainment and materialism, and saying with all their heart that this cross has delivered me from this world while living in the world. It's an oxymoron of contention. It doesn't work that way. So when we say we see that cross and we'll take up our cross and we say, "Crucify that desire within me for this world. Crucify it, Lord." And he does it. Can anybody ever say he didn't do that? When you say, "Lord, take away the desire for this world," and all the true Christians will say he took it away because of that cross of Jesus Christ. See, the cross of Jesus Christ is not a self-help program. I wrote down here that I am crucified unto this world by the power of this operation. By the power of this operation, not by myself, not by my own strength. And I want to say hallelujah this morning. It's a message worth preaching, that we are delivered from this world by the power of that operation. And it's great excitement. So young man, if there's a hankering in your life for this world, you need to be delivered from it by the power of the operation of Jesus Christ. And to me, that's the beauty of the gospel. That's blessing. The cross of Christ and the work of Christ, we hear about that, we love it, has granted us an access into the kingdom of God, where we have the right to be free from this world. Not we're all sinners and we don't know which way to turn. We have a great hope and a great high priest. The world is crucified by that cross unto me, and I make a conscious choice to say, God, would you deliver me from this world? And he does it every time. Lord, help us to draw this pattern of life. This was some thoughts and burdens in my heart for my own life, being here with my wife and children and family. We need to continue. Every generation needs to be delivered from this present evil world into his glorious kingdom. And therein is peace. But on this cross, it won't ever be easy. We don't want to see, that's the difference between many times different ideas of Christianity. This is not you're going to get saved and everything's going to go okay for you. It's not what we're talking about. But we're talking about an inner strength that comes from that operation. And Jesus lives in our life. And the world will no longer invite you over. It doesn't happen. Because, you see, when I'm trying to stay away from the world must be crucified inside of me. Then the world says, I don't want him around. That's the great divide, the great separation from the church and the world, from the kingdom of God and the world. To me, this was exciting, also very humbling, that there are so many. There are so many that live two lives, and I don't want to live that way. We don't want to live that way as brothers and sisters. We want a single eye as men of God in our families to make clear decisions that 20 years from now, as you as young men can be married and you can have children and you can say, it was worth it. It was worth it to sell out to God. It was worth it. So may God bless you. I think that's all that I have for today. Our burden was that we would see the remedy for worldliness and the sin nature. There is a beautiful remedy for it. It is for all men, every generation. God bless you, and we ask for you. Pray for us and our family.